Back to the Anti-Media Radio here on UCY.TV. Happy to be here with you this evening. Happy Friday the 13th. It's March 13th. It was an awesome week. We had a great week of programs. I hope you guys joined us. We are here Monday through Friday, same time, 8 o'clock or 11 o'clock, depending on what part of the world you're on. I'm going to go over some interesting topics this evening, a few articles I would like to read to you from theantimedia.org. So make sure you head over there and follow along. Let's see here. The first one I want to talk about is a topic that's been really prevalent in my life as a... I'm a representative of a nonprofit called Doctors for Health and Wellness. I also manage a holistic healing center, and part of my job is to put on community events and teach people about their bodies and bring a connectedness to them with their bodies through holistic healing and natural practices. So part of my job is educating the public about nutrition and the dangers of ingesting toxins and the effects on the body, as well as the process of healing, because healing hurts, and a lot of people don't understand what the body actually has to endure in the process of healing. I only share what I know, and I've had a lot of like body trauma, like ridiculous. And I grew up eating a variety of foods. I had grandparents that grew a garden and came from homeland and did everything by hand. Then I had a grandma who, on the other side of the family, like lost her roots and lived from a box and became diabetic and had congestive heart failure. And I mean, eventually my grandparents like all withered away from what I believe is just like malnourishment to the max because they didn't know any better. So that's kind of fueled me to help people be their best. Cause I watched people that I love die too soon. What a tragedy, right? Like, I often think, like, gosh, I wish grandma was here to enjoy these moments. And why not help other people have their grandmas? So that's my mission. I want to share with you some interesting ideas regarding fluoride, which is quite the controversial topic. First, I'll read to you the article that was posted on the Anti-Media, and then I'll read some supporting articles from Mercola.com. I've been telling you guys about Dr. Mercola for the entirety of my program. He's a cool guy. He's got some interesting articles. I just went to his website and I typed in fluoride, and there were 25,700 articles. I'm obviously not going to read all of those to you. I mean, we could do like a few months program on fluoride if you want, but let's just read a few of them. So, you guys can decide what you think here. It's pretty interesting. I have my own opinions, but I'll save them. I'll see if you can tell how I feel. And if you have an opinion, you should call me. We should talk about it. The number, in case you want to know, is 1-718-717-8296. So, let's see here. The article titled, "Study: Fluoride in Water Linked to High Chances of ADHD Symptoms in Children." Okay. So this was posted by Heather Callaghan. Excuse me if I pronounced that wrong. She says, "Believe it or not, people have protested the mass medication of the public through drinking water all along. The fluoride in tap water, although touted as healthy and safe, is nothing more than the legal, unregulated way for chemical companies to unload their waste, and we pay for that privilege. So, in other words, fluoride is a chemical byproduct of companies, believe it or not, and they basically have this waste, and they don't know where to put it, so they empty it in our water. I'm not even kidding. There are links to support those statements within the article on our website. So if you want to know more about that, check that out, okay? Last year, a highly contested Harvard research study published in The Lancet implied water fluoridation is not only ineffective for teeth, but is a neurotoxin associated with ADHD and other neurodevelopmental issues. It has also been associated with a significant drop in IQ. Fluoride was recently outed as damaging to the thyroid, that is significant when talking about neurodevelopmental problems. Critics can shrug off and jeer the results all they want, but something has sparked other research teams to study fluoride's effects on the brain. Mainly to see if there's something in the water is a valid question that should be answered before it's too late. Has a fluoridated water supply been responsible for more ADHD diagnoses? That's a funny word. Since the early 1900s, the recently published study in the Environmental Health. I'm sorry, I read that incorrectly. It says, enter the recently published study in Environmental Health. Researcher psychologist Christine Till and Ashley Mellon write. State prevalence of artificial water fluoridation in 1992 significantly positively predicted state prevalence of ADHD in 2003, 2007, and 2011, even after controlling the social economic status. Additionally, after social and economic status was controlled, each 1% increase in artificial fluoridation prevalence in 1992 was associated with approximately 67,000 to 131,000 additional ADHD diagnoses from 2003 to 2011. Did you hear that? Overall, state water fluoridation prevalence, not distinguishing between fluoridation types, was also significantly positively correlated with state prevalence of ADHD for all but 1 year examined. Furthermore, parents reported higher rates of medically diagnosed ADHD in their children in states with a greater proportion of people receiving fluoridated water from public water supplies. Huh. Although some would love to jump behind the correlation doesn't equal causation pulpit. It's hard to poke holes in a state-by-state comparison that hold tight for 6 years and also compare significant differences in fluoridation levels with the subsequent levels of ADHD diagnoses later on. Plus, adjusting for social economic status was important because poverty-stricken families tend to receive more of these diagnoses. They found that Delaware and Iowa, which has low rates of poverty, had higher rates of ADHD and were heavily fluoridated. Both the researchers and the critics of the study want further analytics, of course. Critics want individual analysis of fluoride levels and verification of the ADHD diagnosis. This writer would like to see more than medians and mass statistics, too. And why haven't individual fluoride levels ever been tested? Well, I know that fluoride is compounding, so I'm pretty sure that it would be pretty easy to conduct these tests. We could do it on our own if we wanted to, dear writer. However, William Hersey, former risk assessment scientist at the EPA, says the numbers of extra cases associated with a 1% increase in the 1992 artificial fluoridation figures are huge. There's a link to read furthermore about that in the article as well. Furthermore, in 2005, this is by no means the first time a relationship between ADHD and fluoride has been determined. Phyllis Mullinan, excuse me, lost her job in the 1990s for having a paper accepted that showed fetal rats displayed hyperactivity later in life when exposed to fluoridated water in the womb. That's very interesting. She was featured in the book The Fluoride Deception. You know, I actually think I have that book in my office. We just have like a little library just to inform people of different things. I can read to you guys up from that book another time if you'd like. The PDF found here, oh, never mind. The PDF found here provides more information, and there are plans for an update. For people who like to claim that ADHD is fake, please consider that millions of Americans are struggling with a group of symptoms called ADHD, or whatever you like to call it, another word we made up, basically. For instance, brain fog can be devastating at any stage of life. These symptoms stem from the inability of the prefrontal cortex of the brain to uptake dopamine. Okay, interestingly about the prefrontal cortex, that doesn't even fully develop until you're 23. So imagine if you're like hindering it with a chemical before it even develops. Interestingly, dopamine, a desperately needed neurotransmitter, the lack of it causes people to self-medicate in damaging ways. Lead is a known precursor, I'm sorry, lead is a known precursor to ADHD type disorders. The chemical fluoride not only leaches lead from pipes, but has been shown to increase lead absorption in humans. Higher lead levels have been detected in children with ADHD. That's a relationship that's hard to ignore. But just in case, in the 1970s, ADHD was a valid biological disorder under the name hyperkinesis, which means exaggerated movement, basically, or a lot of movement. The cause of it, heavy metal and chemical toxicity. Nutritional deficiency also plays a part, and nutritional absorption is damaged by toxicity. Industrious lobbying put pressure on Congress to switch the study of such disease to the mental health field, which changed things forever in the 1980s. There's a link to a show where the writer insists that you listen, where the host and her discuss what happened and how it affects people and their careers. It's an hour-long show, but I interest you to listen to it if you want more information from her personal perspective, which seems valid, just to support her perception perspective. I'll read to you some articles from Mercola.com, which I think is like the most visited nutrition website in the world. Go Mercola. Dr. Mercola knows what's up. My nutritionist actually turned me on to Dr. Mercola. So let's see here. Let's see. Here's an interesting one. Fluoride in drinking water may be toxic to sperm. Sperm's important, right? You kind of need it. So this is from October 2013 by Dr. Mercola. In the United States, where about two-thirds of drinking water supplies are fluoridated, men may be putting their fertility at risk with every sip of water from the tap. Research has long linked fluoride in drinking water with sperm damage and other threats to reproductive health, although many Americans remain completely in the dark about the association. Yet, most of the studies on fluoride use sodium fluoride, which, while extremely toxic, is pharmaceutical-grade fluoride, not the kind added to water supplies. So researchers set out to determine the toxicity of the fluoride compounds that are actually in most water supplies. Here's what they found. Fluoride in drinking water may be toxic to sperm. First, here's a bit of background. Sodium fluoride was the first of the fluoride waste materials. Ah, my computer's being weird. Hold on, guys. It's happening sometimes. There we go. Thought it was going to crash on me. That would have been terrible. Okay. Sodium fluoride was the first of the fluoride waste materials to be used for fluoridation, but now is rarely used. It's the most well-known, as this is pharmaceutical-grade compound used in toxicology studies and other research into the potential health dangers of fluoride. The other two types of fluoride, sodium silicofluoride and fluorosilicic acid, ooh, that's fun, are the compounds actually used for the water fluoridation? Oh, this is okay. Let me take a drink of water before I type these words, guys. Hold on. Some reason I have like dry mouth. Sodium silicofluoride and hydrofluorosilicic acid are the waste products from the fertilizer industry and are actually classified as hazardous waste. Remember how we were talking about byproducts earlier? Well, that's very interesting, right? The new study compared the toxicity of three fluoride compounds, sodium fluoride, and two silicofluorides used for water fluoridation to determine their effect on the growth, feeding, and reproduction of roundworms. They found that exposure to these compounds produced classic concentration response toxicity profiles. This suggests that silicofluorides have similar toxicity to sodium fluoride. Since sodium fluoride appears to be equally as toxic as the fluoride chemicals added in drinking water, it raises serious concern about another recent study which found sodium fluoride may be damaging to chemotaxis. Oh man. Sometimes I butcher words, deal with it. So the process by which sperm are attracted towards an egg, which that's what that word is. Chemotaxis, I think that's what it is, which is the process by which a sperm is attracted towards an egg, which plays a critical role in allowing fertilization to occur. This study involved mice, and if its findings were applied to humans, it could put men at risk of becoming infertile. So, past research has shown that fluoride has potentially disastrous effects on the male reproductive system. The Fluoride Action Network reported that exposing semen to 0.38 parts per million of fluoride for 5 hours caused statistically significant decrease in the motility of oh my gosh, this word is awesome. Spermatoza. Spermatoza. That's a word? What? Okay, that needs to be a ban like yesterday. Somebody get on that. Hold on, just let me copy this word. This is one for the books. Along with other changes that would undoubtedly affect the physiological function of the sperm. I gotta paste this word really quick. Because I'm probably butchering it. I want to get it right so that I can like have a band name called that. Okay, back to what we were talking about. Infusing testes with modest amounts of fluoride, just 4.7 parts per million, inhibited the synthesis. Oh my gosh, am I drunk? I'm not even drunk. Synthesis of testosterone. 60 animal studies have found that fluoride adversely impacts the male reproductive system, including a decrease in testosterone levels, reduced sperm motility, altered sperm morphology, reduced sperm quantity, increased oxidative stress, reduced capacity to breed. These are all things that seem rather important to a sperm's life. Do you not agree? It is not only animal studies that have shown an emerging problem, however, as Fan explained. Consistent with the in vitro and animal research studies of human populations, there have been reports of associations between fluoride exposure and damage to the male reproductive system. Most notably, a scientist at the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, reported in 1994 that populations in the United States with more than 3 ppm parts per million of fluoride in their water had lower total fertility rates than population with lower fluoride levels. While 3 parts per million is a higher concentration than used in the water fluoridation programs, which is typically 0.7 to 1.2, it is still considered a safe level by the EPA. To date, no health U.S. I'm sorry. I'm getting all excited over here. No U.S. health agency has attempted to replicate these findings. However, three studies of highly fluoride-exposed populations in China and India have found that high fluoride exposure is associated with reduced male fertility. In addition, five studies from China, India, and Mexico and Russia have found that high fluoride exposure is associated with reduced male testosterone levels. Fluoride, according to Dr. Mercola, is an undeniable poison to your entire body. Men of reproductive age may now be thinking twice about the fluoride in their drinking water, but this is not the only population that stands to be harmed. So, besides the future babies that are floating around in your testicles, what about the people who exist now, right? We got to consider this, if this is the thing to be considered. Study after study has confirmed that fluoride is dangerous, toxic poison that bioaccumulates in your body while being ineffective at preventing dental decay. For instance, there are 25 studies showing that fluoride reduces IQ in children. We're going to read those next a little bit. And approximately 100 animal studies have also linked fluoride to brain damage. One particularly striking animal study showed that fluoride ingestion had a profound influence on the animals' brains and altered behavior. Pregnant rats given fluoride produced hyperactive offspring, and animals given fluoride after birth became apathetic, lethargic, couch potatoes. Other research has linked fluoride toxicity with wide-ranging problems listed below. Increased lead absorption disrupts collagen synthesis, increased manganese absorption, which is also linked to lower IQ in children, crippling skeletal fluorosis and bone fractures. So it actually like weakens the bones according to this research. Genetic damage and cell death, increased tumor and cancer growth, disruptions to the immune system, inhibits antibody production. That's part of your immune system. Those are like your soldiers. It's kind of important. Brain damage and lowered IQ, dementia. That's common in our society among our older populations. Imagine if fluoride is accumulative and it's compounding in the body, wouldn't it make sense that if it does these things to the brain, like inhibits, that all the older people would have some sort of collective brain fog? Think about all the old people in old folks' homes. Like, why do we need old folks' homes? Ever in our history, did we need old folks' homes? Like, did people send away their elders to go live somewhere else, or did they stay within their communities? Question that for a moment. Why is this like an issue within our societal existence? Something to ponder. Arthritis, severe eye problems, including blindness, impaired thyroid function. Osteosarcoma, which is bone cancer, inactivation of 62 enzymes, muscle disorders. So what's better at fluoride? What's better than fluoride for preventing cavities, are you wondering? Because most likely your whole life you've been told that you need fluoride to strengthen your teeth, correct? So, according to Dr. Mercola, he says, well, practically anything is better at strengthening your teeth, since ingesting fluoride in drinking water does not decrease the rates of tooth decay. In all seriousness, anyone who has ever read Dr. Weston's Price book, Nutrition and Psychological Degeneration, will soon recognize that diet is the most important factor in dental health. Dr. Prince wrote his book in 1920, and it is full of pictures of cultures with excellent dental health that rapidly deteriorated once processed Western food was introduced. When Dr. Pierce studied these native diets, he noticed some similarities in foods that kept them so healthy. Among those foods were natural, unprocessed, and organic, which mean contain no sugar except for the occasional bit of honey or maple syrup. Ooh, my favorite. These people ate foods that grew in their native environment. In other words, they ate locally grown and seasonal foods. What a freaking concept! What? That's a weird concept! many of these cultures ate unpasteurized dairy products. That's illegal. What? You can't do that. That's bad. And all of them ate fermented foods. Okay. And the people ate significant portions of their food raw. All of the cultures ate animal products, including animal fat, often fat, full, I'm sorry, full fat butter and organ meats. I believe that if you have an optimal diet without processed foods and sugars from infancy, you can be virtually assured of cavity-free teeth. All of the brushing and flossing in the world will not give you the healthy teeth that follow the eating patterns described above will. If so you value your pearly whites, get started at eating a healthier diet today, says the nutritionist. So that's just one article of the 25,000 on this website regarding fluoride, which has really important links to other studies regarding the IQ of children. And I encourage you to go to Mercola.com. I just read from the one called Fluoride in Drinking Water May Be Toxic to Your Sperm. So if you want to learn more about fluoride, go there. I do want to share with you an article from 2012 where a Harvard study concluded that children who live in areas with highly fluoridated water levels have significantly lower IQ scores than those who live in low fluoride areas, as opposed to highly fluoride water areas. There's a 32-page report that can be downloaded free of charge from the Environmental Health Perspectives, the researcher said. So the national, blah, 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 blah. My words are all tied tonight. The National Research Council in 2006, how many years ago was that, guys? Concluded that adverse effects of high fluoride concentrations in drinking water may be of concern and that additional research is warranted. Fluoride may increase neurotoxicity in laboratory animals, including the effects on learning and memory. To summarize the available literature, we performed a systematic review and meta-analysis of published studies on the increased fluoride exposure in drinking water and neurodevelopmental delays. We specifically targeted studies carried out in rural China that have not been widely disseminated, thus complementing the studies that have been included in previous reviews and risk assessment reports. Findings from our meta-analysis of 27 studies published over 22 years suggest an inverse association between high fluoride exposure and children's intelligence. The results suggest that fluoride may be a developmental neurotoxin that affects brain development at exposures much below those that can cause toxicity in adults. Serum fluoride concentrations associated with high intakes from drinking water may exceed 1 milligram or 50. What is that? Or 50. I think that's a typo. Milligrams. Thus, more than 100. Or I'm sorry, 1,000 times the levels of some other neurotoxins that cause neurodevelopmental damage. I must have had some fluoride today. Maybe I'm having some nerve problems, especially when it comes to reading words tonight. Let's see here. So it goes on to say that there are so many studies supporting the direct toxic effects of fluoride. I could read this to you forever, but I encourage you just to check it out yourself. But what the most alarming part is, and what I want to bring your guys' attention to, is that the harmful effects of this toxin has been known for over half a century. So, conventional medical organizations have known for over half a century. Example, in 1943, in an issue of the American Medical, I'm sorry, the American Medical Association, they stated that fluorides has the basic same effects of a poison that permanently change your cell membranes and enzymes. So that's kind of important. So they go on to say that drinking water containing as little as 1 ppm, parts per million of fluoride, will cause developmental disturbances. So that's what is at least added to our drinking water. Part of the problem, and I mentioned this earlier, guys, is that it's an accumulative. So it doesn't leave your body. You literally have to systematically flush it. So I want to teach you guys how to do that. But first, I want to read a few more facts from this. So it suppresses your immune system. It inhibits the movement of white blood cells by 70%, therefore decreasing their ability to reach their target, which means you're not going to be as strong as fight at fighting disease, right? Let's see here. Just the list goes on, you guys. Like, please check it out. Let's talk about solutions, right? That's the problem. We spent half of our time talking about the problem. So you can check out the original article posted on the antimedia.org. And then I encourage you to check out Mercola.com just for some cool nutritional information. He's a cool resource for finding out what you need to find out. Let's see here. Pardon me, guys, while I pull up my supporting research for you. My computer is being interesting. So, we were talking about all the damaging effects of fluoride to your body and how you don't want to have it in your body. But let's be real, we definitely all have it in our bodies. So what are we going to do about it, you ask? I'm going to tell you as soon as my computer lets me move my mouse. Oh no, guys, what do I do? Not cool, computer. Let's go. All right, backup plan. I'll get it on my phone for you guys. Just bear with me for a moment. So, this topic of fluoride is really controversial, and I want to know what you guys think. Like, did you know that this is a sensitive topic? I wasn't going to bring it up, but why not? Your truth. The Nazis used fluoride inside of the drinking water in concentration camps to make the people docile. So, what do you think the intention is of the people who are keeping us safe to use such a thing to help us? I don't quite understand how that works. But no, I mean, studies suggest. And I'm not one to assume thing or assume things, but there are so many studies that suggest that the effects of fluoride are not beneficial. And it all comes down to what you eat. And Dr. Pakola suggests that you can detoxify your body and remove heavy metals with a specific diet. Let's see here. So, I'm going to read to you an article titled "The Easiest Way to Detox Your Body, Also the Quickest." So, We all know that our body is constantly working for us, right? I've talked about this a lot. Literally, right now, all 30 trillion of your little friends inside of you, all the little yous, the little cells that you're composed of, are cleaning and repairing. That's their job. That's what they're doing. But unfortunately, as a result of our lovely world, we're constantly bombarded by toxic chemicals and substances everywhere, in the air, in the creams, in the lotions we use. I think it takes like, your skin's your largest organ. It takes like 60 seconds tops for something you put on your skin to be absorbed and circulated around your body. That fact alone has urged me to start making my own body products, which I'm really excited to have. I've been transforming myself from the outside in and the inside out, which is my goal because then I can perpetuate that. So Dr. Mercola agrees, and he was my inspiration to do body cleanse, which I did in like 2010 was the first time I like transformed my body. I lost 50 pounds without exercising, without going to a gym. I mean, not intense exercising, like as a result of eating better, I lost weight and then I had more energy, so I did move more, but I wasn't consciously like, I need to work out, you know what I mean? Or I'm on a diet. It was just a personal choice of I want to put good food in my body. I want to love myself. A totally different mentality. And it was pretty empowering. And the craziest part is that people assumed I was on drugs. And they freaked out when I was like, can you believe the secret to this is eating food and moving my body? And people were like, what? What do you mean? I'm like, I eat butter. I eat really good oils. I eat all kinds of delicious things. And I seriously replaced sugar with honey. Best decision ever, as honey is like the most delicious thing in the world. Just try it. It's so amazing. Okay, I'm getting off topic talking about honey. I could talk about honey forever. Ooh, we should do that one day. I should have a show where I just talk about honey. That's gonna happen. I'm gonna note that. Okay, back to this article though. We were talking about how our body was under constant daily assault by toxic substances, and a great many of which are hard or impossible to completely avoid. Besides the industries that pump or dump known toxins into your air, food, and water, there are also synthetic chemicals in most products on your supermarket shelves. It's scary when you consider the world we're breathing in. Poor babies. I wonder how they're gonna evolve, how we're gonna evolve in regards to this chemical world. Better living through chemistry really has become the accepted standard for our modern world. But as we are learning the hard way through the explosion of degenerative disease in the modern world, many chemicals, especially man-made ones, can do much more harm to your body than good. In my opinion, one of the biggest hazards to your health comes from something you are likely taking for granted: the water you drink, the water you bathe in, and the water run through your appliances. It is vitally important for you to secure a good, clean source of water, and this is easily done by instilling one or more types of water filtration systems in your house, which he says he'll get to. Your body is mostly water, right? We all know this, you guys. On a percentage basis, your body is over 99% water, or hydrogen and oxygen atoms. Your body requires a constant daily supply of water to fuel all the various waste filtration systems nature has designed to keep your body healthy and free of toxins. You know those 30 trillion cells? They need water to do all of the things that they do, okay? Your blood, your kidneys, and your liver all require a source of good, clean water to detoxify your body from the toxic exposures you come into contact with every day. When you give your body water that is filtered with toxins leached from plastic, or filled with byproducts from chlorination, or with volatile organic compounds, or water that is contaminated by pesticides or hormones, you are asking your body to work twice as hard to detoxify, because it must first detoxify the water you are drinking before that water can be used to fuel your organs of detoxification. Do you see? Like, clearly, the most effective way to help your body both avoid and eliminate toxins is to provide your body with the cleanest, purest water you can find. And that may be more of a challenge than you think. Here's the problem with modern well water. Unless you are getting your water from a well that is located 800 feet or more below the ground surface, chances are your well water has been contaminated by some, if not many, toxic substances that have been dumped to the ground soil over the past many decades. Some common toxins that are dumped by the millions of pounds into soil every year are herbicides, pesticides, estrogen-mimicking hormones, drug residues, heavy metals. In fact, you'd be hard-pressed to find a natural well in America that hasn't been affected by some type of chemical or heavy metal runoff from the surrounding ground soil. This is to say, nothing of the microorganisms living in well water. No matter how clean or pure your natural groundwater looks, this has nothing to do with the potential bacterial contamination or toxic pollution in the water. Many of the fenders in well water are just much too small to be seen with the naked eye. If your home uses well water, you really need to test to see what's in the unwanted contaminants you're pumping into your house. As you will see below, the problem isn't just what you may be drinking contaminated water, you're also inhaling it and absorbing it through your skin directly into your bloodstream. So he's talking about when you're taking a shower, how you're heating up all those chemicals and toxins and pretty much like breathing them in your largest organ in your body, which is your skin. The problem with government-mandated urban water treatments is that if you live in a city and rely on the local water processing plant to provide you with clean water, they have some I have some disturbing news for you. You simply cannot trust municipal sources or governmental agencies to keep your water clean. Senator Frank Lautenberg recently told ABC News that there are more than 140 chemicals in the U.S. drinking water supplies that are not regulated by the EPA. This includes gasoline, pesticides, rocket fuel, prescription drugs, and more. Furthermore, more than 20% of U.S. water treatment systems have violated key provisions of the Safe Drinking Water Act over the last 6 years, yet fewer than 6% of the violations were ever fined or punished. This is to say that nothing of the violations that go unnoticed in this time of budgetary restraints and lack of regulations and oversight. You can get a good idea of what types of contaminants could be in your drinking water by viewing this awesome graphic from Good Environment, which was reprinted with permission on Dr. Mercola's article here. And it gives you a look at the five most and least polluted water systems in America in cities with more than 100,000 in population. Excuse me. Well, let's talk about water. It makes me need water. So, adding to the problems are numerous outdated and overwhelmed sewer systems, many of which were built more than a century ago. In 1972, the Clean Water Act was enacted to upgrade many of the U.S. sewer systems. Yet, despite updates made in the 70s and 80s, many sewer systems are still overwhelmed and are functioning at less than optimal levels. So, is there sewage spilling into your drinking water? am I going to ruin all you guys after this? As a result, sewage spilling into waterways is a common occurrence. In fact, the New York reported that in the last 3 years, more than 9,400 of the 2,500 U.S. sewage systems have violated the law by dumping untreated or partially treated human waste, chemicals, and other hazardous materials into rivers, lakes, and other waterways. It's making me cough just thinking about it. So, some natural lakes and bodies of water are now either approaching dead, unable to support life, or are dead. And these dead bodies of water continue to be the source of drinking water for millions of people. Are you guys mad yet? Male frogs and bass are now found in nature with ovaries growing on their testes. And 7-year-old girls are now reaching sexual maturity. Scientists have linked both of these phenomena to the estrogen mimicking hormones now commonly found in our lakes, streams, and drinking supplies. Nearly every municipal water supply also has fluoride, a highly toxic poison added during water treatment, which is detrimental to your health. Europeans have known for many years that fluoride is toxic and have long since removed it from their water supplies, but it is still used in the United States. And then there are disinfection byproducts, or I'm sorry, BPs. that's funny. If you have not heard of DBPs before, you need to pay close attention, as it turns out that not only is this hard to say, but DBPs, not chlorine, are responsible for nearly of all the toxic effects of chlorinated water. Chlorine by itself is relatively harmless, but its side effects by producing DBPs cause nearly all of the problems, including reproductive disorders and cancer. So, when you help yourself to a glass of water from your kitchen faucet, it may look much more pure than it actually is. The hazards of chlorinated water, disinfection byproducts. The main chemical used to disinfect the tap water you receive at your house is chlorine. While your local government is quick to assure you that there is relatively no danger from drinking chlorinated water, that simply is not the case. Because of the levels of chlorine disinfection byproducts, or DBPs, that are produced by this process are both dangerous and alarming. There's actually no safe level for many things found in drinking water, including heavy metals, pesticides, herbicides, hormones, and these DBPs. Sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but that's really difficult to say. I encourage you to try and say that and find out what the hell it is. The truth of the matter is that it would cost the government trillions of dollars to produce truly clean water into the pipes of your house. Cool. Don't we give them trillions of dollars? the resources to provide this just aren't there. Weird. It's kind of like essential to life. You think it would kind of like be available, but it's not. Why? Somebody fix it. Let's fix it, guys. It never has been. And it probably never will be. Well, that's a bad attitude. So, Mercola says there's a downturn in our economy, so we can't have clean water. I say BS. We can have whatever the hell we want. That's a whole other show, apparently. It goes on to say here that the government is much more concerned with providing water that doesn't kill you through diarrhea, and it does a good job at that. Although some microorganisms, cysts, and parasites do survive the chlorination process. Cryptosporidium, Cnidaria, for instance, can lead to isolated outbreaks of disease and even death to those with compromised immune systems. If you have not heard of DBPs before, you need to pay attention, as it turns out that DBPs, not chlorine, are responsible for nearly all the toxic effects of chlorinated water. So, it's 1,000 times more toxic than chlorine, believe it or not. Interestingly, the EPA takes the dangers of thiamethylamines, which are measured in parts per billion, seriously, and regulates those compounds. But they don't pay any attention to the ones that are likely to affect us in regards to our optimal function. Let's see here. He goes on to say that these levels have been regularly adjusted downwards over the years as science progressed and gained deeper appreciation for their true toxicity. But he suggests that you should obtain your water from a private well, if you can. But earlier he said that there aren't very many wells that are healthy anymore just because of all the damage we've done. Furthermore, the THMs, which is a part of the, as a result of the BPs, I keep switching that, I apologize, are the cancer group carcinogens, meaning they've been shown to cause cancer in laboratory animals. DBPs have also been linked to reproductive problems in both animals and humans, and suggests that a lifetime consumption of chlorine-treated water can more than double the risk of bladder and rectal cancers in certain individuals. A study found that smoking men who drank chlorinated tap water for more than 40 years faced double the risk of bladder cancer compared with smoking men who drank non-chlorinated water. A second study found that the rates for rectal cancers for both sexes escalated with the duration of consumption of chlorinated water. Individuals on low-carb diets who also drank chlorinated water for more than 40 years doubled their risk of rectal cancer compared with the lifetime drinkers of non-chlorinated water. As the vast majority of the U.S. population continues to receive and consume disinfected or chlorinated drinking water, we can assume that Americans are consuming disinfection byproducts every single day, and the number of related cancer cases could be substantial. So, drinking this chlorinated water is not our only health concern. So, he goes on to describe in great detail that when we heat the water in our shower, our bath, our dishwasher, our sink, we're releasing chlorine and the other compounds, pesticides, herbicides, all of it into the air. We're breathing into our skin, our biggest organ, right? We talked about that earlier. So, if you're taking a 7-minute shower, you are exposed to more chlorine, DBPs and VOCs alone than by drinking a gallon of tap water. This is significant for two reasons. The chlorine that enters your lungs is the chlorine form of chloroform, a carcinogen, and chlorite, a byproduct of chlorine dioxide. These forms of chlorine hit your bloodstream instantly before they have a chance to be removed by your organs of detoxification. Do you understand? So your defense systems are bypassed because of the way those are broken down. The DBPs that enter your body through your skin also go directly to your bloodstream, and the warm or hot water maximizes absorption by your skin. So unless you are regularly taking 1-minute cold showers, your body is like a sponge for these airborne toxins every freaking second you spend in the shower. It is fact estimated that only 5% of all volatile organic compounds make it down the drain of your shower. The other 95% are sent into the air you breathe or directly into your bloodstream. By the way, bathing in municipal tap water is not a solution to avoiding the damage done in the shower because the hot water on your skin facilitates absorption and your skin is drinking all those harmful DBPs every second that you lay luxurying in that hot bath. Luxuriating, it says. Now, this is painful news to a lot of people. Because you don't really want to look at your shower as your home's greatest source of toxic indoor pollution, do you? For some people, that long morning shower or that luxurious nighttime bath is the highlight of their day. I'm sorry, guys. Additionally, the chlorine and DBPs are not great for your skin or hair. You know how your hair feels after you swim for a little, even when a chlorine in a pool? The dry skin, the red eyes, the hair, all this chemical damage is going in your home's shower's bath. And the harsh chlorine and disinfection byproducts that assaults your skin in the bath or shower are also doing unnecessary damage to your appliances. So, how can you avoid all of this? You want to look into a filtration system, and there are so many types. I'm not going to promote any particular one. But I want to encourage you guys to hear all the information I shared with you tonight. There are so many studies that test the effects of fluoride. I only scratched the surface of a few of them, but I suggest that you do your research and look at the associations not only between fluoride and hyperactivity in children, but fluoride in association with sperm inability to fertilize eggs. Also, fluoride's ability to compound in our body, fluoride's ability to affect your bones and damage your nerves, fluoride's ability to enter your bloodstream, fluoride's ability to bind with your cells, the fact that it's intentionally being added to your drinking water in the name of benefiting your teeth, but has no benefit to do so. It began in 1945, even though it's not an essential nutrient. Why is this happening? I want you guys to ponder these things that we talked about. Most developed countries do not fluoridate their water. Those countries do not have less tooth decay. It affects many tissues in your body besides your teeth. All of your organs, okay? It has mu affects your muscles, your thyroid. It adds problems to dementia, bone fractures. It inactivates 62 enzymes and inhibits more than 100. It increases cancer. It disrupts your immune system. It is not a natural process, okay? 40% of American teenagers show visible signs of overexposure. Let's see. So, a lot of teens have fluoridosis, which is changes in the appearance of tooth enamel that are caused by long-term ingestion of fluoride. So, people are suffering, okay? Imagine what this is doing to newborn babies who are consuming a 12 up to 1200 micrograms of fluoride, or 100 times more recommended than more recommended from their mother's milk. And you know, earlier we talked about a Harvard study that concluded that there's significantly lower IQ scores. So we need to work on being optimal in breeding a population of well-functioning people by not ingesting chemicals. So I encourage you to be aware and join us on Monday, guys. Have a beautiful weekend, and we'll catch you Monday through Friday. Same time. Bye.
I'ma let 'em know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the